The work of this church in the world is realized through the generous financial support of all who call this place home. Along with the gifts and time and talent, ours is a shared ministry. You have a role to play here. Church membership is open to all. For more information, go to uusf.org.
Each year, around this time of the year, I would always feel this sinking in my heart and gut. Usually around 5 o'clock in the evening, I had a favorite aunt who loved fall. She would go rhapsodic about its beauty and delight in the clean, crisp air. It was like fall was a charger cord plugged straight into her heart. Not me. That 5 o'clock hour when the weakness of the sun felt most apparent, so weak it couldn't even make it through the commuting hour, the cold that most of us in our lizard brains are still wired to read as danger, like in the Game of Thrones when they say, "Winter is coming." And we don't mean sledding and joy. We mean, I hope you put away enough acorns and firewood to make it through. And the leaves, right? The gorgeous leaves in their last gasp of life, but still in their last gasp, let go. Jun Fujita, the first Japanese-American photojournalist, who was also a silent film actor and a published poet, would retire to his cabin in Minnesota to write poetry and paint, and he wrote the following poem entitled November. It's not quite a haiku and not quite a tanaka, but similar to both. On a pale sandhill, a bare tree stands. The death wind has snatched the last few leaves. That's what I mean. This is the season that we're in, despite what my Aunt Nancy said. And for so many generations, our natural world in this northern hemisphere gets taken to a place in our hearts and minds where we feel closer to the proximity of loss, up against the living and the dying, separated by this veil, but brought closer, it felt, by the weakening sun. This death of another year, leaves falling, the withdrawal of warmth as part of it, catches, as poet Naomi Shihab Nye says, the thread of all sorrows in so many of us. And we remember so much else that's part of the web of life that we have watched fall away. One way to hold our sense of loss is to witness to it, to those we've lost and why we miss them and what they left behind. It's a good reminder that we don't honor those we love once in a memorial service, but we have the chance to remember them and honor them as often as we choose to and need to, as often as serves our hearts and our spirits and honors appropriately the richness of our ongoing connections to them. So in ancient pagan tradition, not surrendered, but transmuted into Christian tradition and taking its own distinct form in Mexican Christianity and perhaps pre-Christian traditions, we have this celebration at this time of year, this confluence of celebrations of love and loss that we will do our version of here today as we have so many years in a row. Bring your love of fall to this moment. And bring your resistance to it. Your loss is old and so fresh, they have not really yet sunk in, maybe because you cannot yet bear to let them sink in. bring memories new and old of family, friends, and friends who were like family, and pets, and even places that were sacred and beloved to you. You can bring here to this moment and this ritual all that you need to remember and honor that you have lost, been forced to let go of. Here, among so many others, gathered to hold one another through the cycles of life and the requirements of the heart and spirit of these cycles. So welcome to this morning and its rituals of remembering. Our ancestors, in the largest sense, are all those who have gone before, who have shaped us. Back through time, they are the ones that you and I often feel, imagine, know to be a presence beside us, with us, inside us, planted forever there or maybe present as a cloud of witnesses that gathers around us, that cloud of witnesses we often speak of, that grows larger the longer we live, doesn't it? Until we too will be part of it. So I invite you each, as you wish to, in a few moments, to come forward with a name of who you would like to be called into this space this morning. There is a helpful structure or prompt, if that's helpful to you, in your order of service. I call out the name of who was their relationship to you. My ancestor, they taught me. Then speak their name again, and we as the community will respond together, and let's practice presente. So I call out the name of Dr. John Robos, who was the father of my best friend from seventh grade on and passed away 2 weeks ago. He taught me the importance of excellence, but also mischief and loyalty. Dr. John Robos, presente. If you have a photo or a memento of the person whose name you're speaking, please bring that forward. We can put it here. There are clips for hanging photos. We can lay them on either altar table. If you'd like to light a candle, you can do that. What I would ask is that we file along the side aisles and then come up one at a time to the front. And Mari and I have microphones so people can hear you. If you want to bring forward and read from the sheets that you wrote, that's also a helpful prompt. And we have a basket to gather those, and we will put those on the bulletin board on the back of our ofrenda after today's service, so other people can read them, as they did in that exhibit that I was lucky enough to see in Boston. So that our live stream folks can participate, Mark will be monitoring the chat, and periodically we'll take a moment and we'll allow him to read what you might have shared, and we will light a candle here and respond. So let's gather. Bring forward your memories, your offerings, who you want to witness to and call into our space as we name and bless the gifts of our ancestors.
Earl Chapman. I've mentioned him before, but I miss him so much sometimes.
Harold Chapman, presente.
My father, Marcel Quenneville. From him I learned unconditional love and appreciation of the ridiculous. Marcel Quenneville.
Presente.
My sister, Diane Pekarek, from whom I learned that anything we do together, it can be fun and it's important to be happy.
Diane. Presente.
Tom Mohan, who was a lifetime friend, he taught me how to be a proud gay person.
Say his name again. Tom, presente.
Debbie Brennan, she taught me to appreciate life. Debbie Brennan.
Justin Vanderlaan, my father, he taught me how to be a parent.
Say his name again.
Justin.
Justin Vanderlaan, presente.
Do you want me to hold this for you?
Yes. I want to show you this photograph. A lot of you probably know it. This was done of Martin Luther King by my dear friend George Conklin, Methodist minister, who died, and whose daughter, beloved Karen, died 1 month before he did. And this is the last picture I took of Karen one night when we ran into them at a little club that played music. And George Conklin, he's here, and Karen Conklin. Presente.
I call out the name of my grandmother, Pearl Hastings, who was the most inspirational person in my life growing up. From going to an orphanage at age 5, she became the superintendent of public welfare for a rural county in North Carolina by horse and buggy and boat. And said, there's nothing you can't do if you're really determined. You just have to have a vision, and you gotta have love and laughter. Pearl Hastings, presente.
I'd like to honor my abuela Rosa, who taught me more about my culture when the rest of my family was too ashamed to, and was one of the first people to teach me unconditional love. And her name was Rosa.
I wanted to speak about my grandfather. He was an Irish immigrant, and he came over to this country and worked on the railroad. He only had a fourth grade education, but he was very inspirational to me. He told me to always be strong, to help the poor, to help those who don't have a voice, and also to never cross a picket line.
Say his name again.
Oh, Edward Anthony Cunningham.
Presente.
Charles Hartwig, my father. He taught me that service to others brings meaning to life. And also, he and my mother, through the work that they did with the Unitarian Society in Livermore, building it from a tiny fellowship up into a thriving church, and as members for 50 years, taught me the joy of community. Charles Hartwig.
My teacher, Albert, who taught me something I mostly forget, that good words without good deeds are the worst profanity. And I am suddenly remembering him. I thank you for listening.
Say his name again. Say his name again.
Albert.
Presente.
I have two. The first is my aunt, Lillian Legg. She was my father's last remaining sibling who died at 101. And I learned from her forgiveness and generosity. Lillian Legg.
Presente. I call in David McGran, my father. Who passed 6 months ago, and he taught me that there is good, joyful music in every genre that you could possibly encounter. David McCran.
Presente.
Nancy Grantham, she was my mentor at work and taught me how to be able to present information to the public that they need to survive through emergencies and thrive through difficult administrations like the current one. And she passed away on Tuesday. Nancy Grantham.
Presente.
I call out the name of Hollis Greenwood. She was a friend for almost 40 years. She taught me the importance of experiencing powerful places, including Kauai and Ashland, Oregon. Hollis Greenwood.
Presente.
I call out the name of Leslie Reif, who is my husband and father of my younger son. And from him, I learned that to be loved is not dependent on how much I accomplish or get right, and that it is important to be part of a spiritual community. Without him, I would never have joined this congregation. Leslie Reif.
Presente.
I call out Miriam Fetterplace Schick. She was my mother, and she embodied loving kindness as a universalist, fourth generation. She embodied it in happy times and in not so happy times and in frustrating times. She was head of the board when she asked as minister to leave, but she helped the board, she helped the church. Loving kindness, my mother, Miriam Fetterplace Schick.
Several people. My wife, Yvonne Jones Most, was a beautiful artist who taught me that you can share whatever you know and don't be afraid that other people will steal your art, because nobody does art the same way as anybody else. And you can share as much as you want, and they can try to imitate you, and they will never do the same way as you do. And she was a very beautiful woman, and I miss her. I also have another person.
Would you like to say her name again? Say her name again.
Yvonne Jones Most.
For my friend Kyle Wood, who was my oldest friendship, we've been friends for over 35 years. He was one of the first people I came out to, and he was, from the beginning, he was very supportive, very understanding, very accepting of it, never had a problem with it, was never an issue for him. And that's really just a model that we all need to follow of how to be an ally to someone who comes out to you and how to be a friend to them. For Kyle Wood.
Presente.
I also want to talk about my father, Mel Most, who, when he died, I was really angry at him, and I never really thanked him for the things he did. I realized after I had my own child that we all do the best we can. And as much as we try, we'll never succeed in really doing what you want to do with your children. But the quote I remember from him was, "Before you can say why somebody is wrong, first look through his eyes and say why he thinks he's right."
Say his name again.
His name's Mel Most.
Present.
Rosalia Gomez was a friend from the 1970s. He passed away earlier this year. He told a lot of stories. I learned a lot about what it was like growing up Chicano in East LA from him. He had a million stories to tell and also a considerable number of really bad jokes. Rosalio Gomez.
Presente.
I called my good friend John Joseph Grant into this space. He was just the funniest person you could ever know in your life. He and I and a magician friend were on a game show once, and he lost the game for us, but we didn't hold it against him. We all stayed pretty close. But the thing about John, the last few years of his life, he was suffering from lung cancer, and he was homeless for a period of time during that. And things just were very hard for him at the end. But we had a lovely living memorial for him in the auditorium of Hollywood High, where he had gone. And so I wanted to call him into this space as well. John Joseph Grant. Presente.
I call out the name of Garina Fortunato, who was, actually her name is Garina Di Giuseppe, who is my grandmother. My ancestor taught me the value of persistence, no matter how grim the odds look. Garina Di Giuseppe.
Presente.
From online, Carrie Parker calls out the name of Leslie Bader, who was my friend and coworker for so many years at UUSF. Leslie Bader, presente. Julia Wald calls out the name of my brother Kit Poole, who taught me to have fun playing games as a child and to care lovingly for others when we were adults. Kit Poole, presente. And Diana Bacon lifts up Christine Ellen Mates Wiley, my mother-in-law. From her, I learned to be kind to myself as I parent my precious children. Christine Ellen Mates Wiley, presente.
I call out the name of my brother Dave. He taught me to sip a Manhattan when I was 18. And no matter what dumb, awful thing just happens to you, to throw back your head and laugh. David Jeffries.
Presente.
I forgot to say what George Conklin taught me. George Conklin taught me that it's possible to run videos under a dictatorship, which he taught people to do internationally. I spoke to him earlier. George Conklin.
Presente.
And now I call out the name of Ann Fagan Ginger. Ann Fagan Ginger was the youngest judge, female judge in the United States, and the first one at age 26. She could not get a job anywhere. And she did a lot of filing for other attorneys. And eventually, what she did was write books. And what she died at age 100. There will be a service for her at the Berkeley Fellowship the beginning of December, December 2nd. What she did and taught me is that it's possible to use United Nations law and apply it to any country in the world, including the United States of America. So right now, her work is becoming prominent again. There are law books all over the world in different languages and in all of our law schools by Ann Fagan Ginger.
Presente.
And I guess I need to speak to the fools, because we've had several people die in the last several weeks. One of them was Robert Harry Rovin. Here he is. And Robert Harry was an actor on Broadway when he was a young man, and he also became a poet and he taught people how to extemporaneously write poetry. And he did this for many years in many places, including in homeless shelters at the Faithful Fools, and wrote a book about it. And we miss him dearly. So that's Robert Harry Groven.
Presente.
And then there's Sister Addie, Franciscan sister. I don't have a photograph of her today. There was a memorial service for her in Little Falls, Minnesota, at the Franciscan place, and Carmen Varsity was with her when she died several weeks ago. So, Sister Addie.
Presente.
The last one is a cat. This is Nikama. She is my adopted younger sister in Jerusalem's cat. And I have known Nikama since she was about 6 weeks old. And she recently, you can see here, she's sleeping on top of Noga. And her husband, Shimon, sent me that photograph. And she died 2 weeks ago in the arms and the hands of Noga. And she taught me how much pets know. Animals know. She knew exactly how different people felt, and she would go to comfort that place that was hurting. And I know that other animals do this. For instance, Finn does this, Hillary's little pet, little dog. And so I just wanted to call out Nikama.
Presente. Thank you.
I want to call in my Charles Xavier, my beloved Weimaraner. He was 90 pounds. And Charles taught me joy, appreciating the moment, quiet moments, adventurous moments, what it means to let go, and the importance of snacks on the couch before bed. Charles Xavier. And if I may also,
Presente,
thank you. Call into the space my mother, Lynn White, who passed away recently also. Yeah, sure. My mother, Lynn White, who passed away recently. And she taught me a sense of justice and equality in the world, and a fierce sense of survival. And I miss her dearly. Lynn White, thank you.
Thank you.
I want to call out my younger sister, Susanna Voss, who died too soon of MS, but she taught me about sweetness, vulnerability, and courage. And she was a wonderful, wonderful singer and was singing till the day she died. And here's a picture of her in front of Alice in Wonderland in Central Park. Susanna Voss.
I want to call out the name of my husband, former husband, Richard Levitin, and I don't know where to what to say, except I have a card that he gave me, and a long time ago, and it says that I give you all that I am, and I don't know how many people can say that. I mean, we have shadows, and those shadows creep in. Anyway, that's Richard Levitin. Presente. And I also want to speak the name of Sadie Catt, who died exactly 9 years to the day and to the hour that my husband died. And she taught me just very patient nurturing. Sadie Catt.
Thank you.
Someone who needs the microphone brought to you? Anybody? Okay.
There's one more from the online chat. Adam Vaquera lifts up the name of Kevin Livia, my childhood best friend who taught me to keep going despite it all. And I will lift, Kevin Livia. And I'll lift up the name of Anthony Orico, who was my pop-up and taught me to stop and to listen to music. Anthony Orico.
Now that we have our offerings and we have our beloveds, our ancestors here with us, we'll do a blessing in gratitude and invitation. It's a poem called Feeding You by Carmen Tafoya. I have slipped chile under your skin, secretly wrapped in each enchilada, hot and soothing, carefully cut into bitefuls for you as a toddler, increasing in power and intensity as you grew until it could burn forever. Silently spiced into the rice, soaked into the bean caldo, smoothed into the avocado, I have slipped chile under your skin, drop by fiery drop, until it ignited the sun altar fire in your blood. I have squeezed cilantro into the breast milk, made sure you were nurtured with the clean taste of corn stalks, with the wildness of thick leaves, of untamed monte, of unscheduled growth. I have ground the earth of these Americas in my molcajete until it became a fine and piquant spice, sprinkled it surely into each spoonful of food that would have to expand to fit your soul. Dear mijo, dear mija, dear corn chile cilantro mijos, this is your herencia. This is what is yours. This is what your mother fed you to keep you alive. Buen provecho, queridos ancestros. Welcome home. Welcome today to be with us. May our gifts bring you nourishment. We thank you deeply for the nourishment you've given us. Welcome back today. Gracias a la vida. Amen.